At 11 a.m., we'll have a sacrament service. At 5:30, there'll be a song service. And at 6 p.m., there'll be a preaching service with our brother Bill Malone. Under special announcements, it says, ladies, please mark your calendar for Saturday, April 26th. There'll be a women's retreat for women ages 15 and up. Please plan on attending all day. More details will be announced in future weeks. And we have another little note here. We've now reached $20,000 in our building fund, and we'd like to continue to encourage people to donate to that fund. The new church directories are in the foyer. Are there any other announcements? Let's open this evening with the user number 250-250. Let's stand while we sing. As far as possible, let's kneel in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the many blessings Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for Thy watch, care, and protection. And dear Lord, we thank Thee for allowing us to meet here together in this house of peace, dear Lord. We ask that Thou would be with each one of us, dear Lord, that Thou would pour out a blessing upon us. And we ask that Thy Spirit might be with us this evening. We'd ask that Thou would be with our brother Jim, dear Lord, as he brings a message to us, that Thou would pour out Thy Spirit upon him, dear Lord, that Thou would give him freedom of thought and freedom of tongue, that he might be able to bring us a message that would help us in our daily walk of life. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would forgive us for the sins which we have committed. And we'd ask that Thou would be with all those many who stand in need, for we know that there is great need, dear Lord. And we'd ask that Thou would be with each one, that Thou would uplift and strengthen and heal them as they stand in need. And we'd ask a special blessing this evening for our sister Meredith and our brother Dennis as they come forth to be administered to, that Thou would pour out a blessing upon them, dear Lord, and whatever might be amiss in them, that that would be corrected and healed. Dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with our people in foreign lands, that Thou would be with each one to uplift and strengthen them. And we ask that Thou would be with Thy ministry and the missionary effort in these last days, that we might be able to do Thy will, dear Lord. We ask for Thy guidance and Thy direction in all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. We do have a couple of administrations, and I think we'll take care of those at this time. Our sister Meredith and our brother Dennis. Brother Bob and Brother Andy, if we could get you to take care of this. And if you could go back to our sister Meredith, please. will now be blessed with a special. Thank you for that beautiful special. I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this evening, and I would ask that each one of you would open your hearts and your minds to the words that he has to say and how they apply in our lives. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention. Her brother and assistant pastor, Jim Yates.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening. It's good to see you all here. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to stand before you. I'd like to thank the ladies for that beautiful song as well. This evening for our text, I'd like to take us back into Exodus. And I just, partway through a book, Chuck Swindoll is the author, but he makes a statement from one of his teachers, which struck me very profound. It's history. You can do two things with it. You can learn from it, or you can learn to ignore it. Profound statement. Whenever we go back into the scriptures, we're going back into history of how God dealt with those people, how God deals with humanity as a whole. We can learn from it, we can apply it to our lives, or we can choose to ignore the word that God had caused his prophets to write down for our edification. I would like to go into Exodus. In the 19th chapter, this was a very tumultuous time for the house of Israel. They just were liberated, if you will, from the land of Egypt. They got to see mighty, marvelous things. They left their homes. They wandered out into the desert. They're put with their backs to a sea with a mighty army standing in front of them with no place to run, nothing to do. So they got to see God's hand protect his people. And now we come to where we are now, the 19th chapter of Exodus. And we read, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from," I've been practicing this word, now I'm going to blow it, "Rephidim." I blew it. "Rephidim. And were come into the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus say thou, say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I buried you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And if ye shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I will come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words to the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready again the third day, for the third day the Lord will come in the sight of all the people unto Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set boundaries unto the people around and about, saying, Take heed to thyselves, that ye go not up unto the mount, nor tour or touch it, the borders of it. Whatsoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live. When the trump soundeth long, they shall come up unto the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. That is my text. There's a lot of things there. You know, in the fourth verse, it said that, you see that what I did unto the Egyptians and how I buried you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. He brought them out of bondage, and he brought them to a place where he would meet them to himself. Think about that. Took them out and then brought him unto himself so that he could do what? He could teach them. He could communicate with them. He could see to their needs. In the fifth verse, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then ye shall be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You thought about that word? Think about it for a second. Peculiar. What does that conjure up in your mind when you think about the word? I'm going to have to pick on a few of you. Justin, peculiar. Different. Uncle Hugh.
Separate.
Dennis, if I would say that that man over there is peculiar, what would you think? Peculiar in the dictionary is how I looked at it. An odd people. Different. Strange. Queer. Funny. That's the number one meaning of peculiar. But I knew that it had to mean something different as I read it here in these passages. The second meaning for peculiar stands apart from the others, calling for a special consideration or attention, distinct, particular. Do you see how these words apply to peculiar in this passages? The third meaning, unique, belonging distinctly to or especially to one person or group or kind. He wanted them to belong to him. He wanted them to be peculiar. And you can look at the house of Israel today, and if they obey the laws of Moses, they indeed are a peculiar people. But they're just obeying the laws because they're there. They lost the meaning that God wanted them to have. He's calling to us to be a peculiar people in the sense that he wants us to be his, part of him, belonging to him. to be distinctly different from the world. And if that is the definition that you put in your mind about peculiar, like I had to change my idea, then I pray that we will be peculiar, that we will be God's children. We will belong to Him. We teach that when you go into the waters of baptism, you become a member of the body of Christ. We become His. We should become peculiar to the world. Not wanting the things of the world, but wanting the things that God has for us. As I read this reading, I came up with five things that I would like to talk about this evening. Number one is being willing to obey. Being willing to obey. And the people cried out in the 8th verse. Answered together and said, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do." All the words that the Lord spoke unto Moses, they are willing to do. They are willing to obey His commandments. Keeping your places there, turn over into Deuteronomy. Show us some examples. The 26th chapter. Through the 18th verses. And this is actually talking about this day there when the people stood and said that they were willing to obey. "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and commandments and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them all with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast vouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments, and to hearken unto His voice. And the Lord hath vouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all His commandments." And a vouched means to take responsibility for. God told them that He was going to take the responsibility for all their needs. And He did that for 40 years. We have promises that He will see to our needs. We'll come to Him in prayer. When we have entered into the waters of baptism, we have vouched to God that we would keep His commandments. Turn over into 2 Nephi, page 86. Second Nephi, the first chapter, 122nd to 124th verses. This is Lehi speaking to his sons. "And now, my son, that I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto His commandments, and be faithful unto His word, and choose eternal life according to the will of this Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will and the flesh and the evil which is therein." John in the 14th chapter. Christ speaking. Scriptures that we've heard over the last few sermons. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The 21st verse is one with a promise. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. The promise that they'll be with them. And of course, in the 23rd and the 24th verses, and God, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loveth me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear are not mine, but the Father which sent me. Crying out, asking us to keep his commandments and obey. But we have a choice. There's a scripture that is commonly used. You see it in great assemblies, and it's in John, the 3rd chapter. Probably know it all by heart, but I want you to look at the words. Starting in John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It didn't say that if you automatically believed that you were going to be saved. It said you should be, because you should keep his commandments. You have that right to choose. Just like Lehi was exhorting his sons over here, I would that you should look to the great mediator. I would that you would look unto Christ and keep his commandments. So would each and every one here that are your brothers and sisters in the gospel of Christ. We should have eternal life with him. The next concept that I gleaned out of Exodus . Be sensitive to listening. Turn your ears towards God and be willing to hear his voice when he calls you. In John, in the 15th chapter, actually, hold your spot there. Let's turn over into 3 Nephi on page 631 first. Third Nephi, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. Things have been in a turmoil for them. They've had 3 days of darkness. They've lost loved ones. They've lost their homes. Everything that they knew was gone. And we read in the first verse, and now it came to pass that there was a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi around about the temple, which was in the land of Bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and showing one to another the great miraculous change which has taken place. And they were also conversing about Jesus Christ, of whom the sign had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice as it came out of the heavens. We can be conversing one with another. We can be living our lives and going about our daily activities. But at all times, we should have our ear cocked to this still, quiet voice. Be listening for the voice of God. And as it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes around about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. It was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time, and they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. I have to ask us a question. Are our ears opened? Do you pray that your ears will be open, that when God speaks, you will understand it? That you will know what is being said? That you can stand up and bear witness of what was said? And their eyes was turned towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfast towards heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice and heard it. And it said unto them, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. Hear ye him. Why was it so important that they heard him? That he could teach them the statutes that the Father gave him so that they would be willing to obey. And it came to pass that as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven. And behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. What a miraculous sight. Would Christ have came if they had kept their ears closed and they didn't want to hear? Would he have showed himself to them? Or because they were willing to hear, they were able to see him? John, the 15th chapter. Starting at the 14th verse. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Herefore I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Be sensitive to listening and hearing the word of God, and to hear God speak. The third thing. Consecrate your heart. Be prepared. In Exodus, we read this. in the 10th and 11th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready again the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people unto Mount Sinai. He sent Moses down to prepare them to meet God. Because this is the first time that God was really to talk to them instead of to Moses. He wanted them to hear what he said to Moses. Always before, Moses went off and they just heard lightning and rumbling, and then Moses came back and told them what God said. They had known that God was there because they saw him in the cloud that led them at day. And they saw him because they or knew he was there because they saw the pillar of fire that lighted their camp at night. They knew that he was there. But God only talked to Moses. He didn't talk to them. So he brought them again on eagle's wings to, in front of him, to him, so that he could talk to them. So they could hear what Moses was being told, so that they would believe on him. Turn over in 1 Peter. Fifth chapter. Verses 6 and 8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he will destroy. Be prepared. Be sober. Be vigilant. Humble yourself before God. James, the fourth chapter. Starting at the seventh verse, seventh and eight. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Prepare yourself. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The 21st to 23rd verses in the 10th chapter. And having a high priest over the house of God, speaking of Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, concerned, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is fulfilled the promise. Going to the Book of Mormon of Jacob. Page 173, second chapter of Jacob. Starting with the 48th verse to the 50th verse. But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind, and pray unto him with exceeding faith, and he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your case and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God. and feast upon his love, for you may, if your minds are firm forever. We may have the Word of God taught to us. How can we apply this? How do you prepare to come to church? Have you thought about it? Do you just throw on some clothes and say, it's Wednesday night, I need to be there, boom, and got the car, and here we are? Or do you try to take time to prepare yourself to meet God in His house? Sunday school. Rush in, plop yourself down. Got an hour to sit here and cool off and think about the preaching service. Or did you take time in our hectic day to drive here to prepare yourself to have a pure heart to be taught? The preaching service, it doesn't matter who stands behind the pulpit. You should prepare yourself the same way as you should prepare yourself for the sacrament service. Prepare yourself to come and to meet God in His house. They were preparing to go to the mount to meet God. They washed themselves. They cleaned their clothes. They prepared. How do we prepare? Or another thing to think about this is, are you prepared that this happens to be your last breath? Are you prepared? Another quote I've gleaned out of a book. When God judges, He does a thorough job of it. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing that if you're not prepared during this day of your probation to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's what we all will do. It's up to us to prepare, to consecrate our hearts and be prepared to meet with God. The fourth thing. To show a deep respect for God. Gave this one a lot of thought. We all know that we're to humble ourselves before God. We all know that we are to be receptive to Him, be subjective to Him. But what came to my mind when I thought of this was kind of a curveball. One that really hit home to me, because I'm guilty of it. Let's read in Romans, the first chapter, 16th and 17th verse. Paul writing about it, going to Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. And therefore is the righteousness of God revealed for faith, to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Nephi, page 72. Thank you. starting with this 52nd verse of the 7th chapter of 1 Nephi to the 53rd verse. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hands to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in thy arms, and thy daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. And the kings shall be nursing fathers, and their queens shall be thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee, their face towards the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Do not be ashamed of having to be humble. Do not be ashamed of being peculiar. When I first got on the fire department, they said there was two things you didn't do. You didn't run around with your partner's wife when he's on duty, and you didn't talk politics and religion. So religion was taboo to me. And so I would sneak away to say the prayer, the blessing over the food. Or I would sit there at the table quietly as I filled my plate and say the prayer. Why? Because I was a little bit ashamed of God. A little bit ashamed to stand up for what I knew was right that I should do. Show respect for God. Do not be ashamed that you are His child. You are His child. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to proclaim the testimonies of the hope that you have within you when the opportunity arises, wherever you are. Take the advantage. And don't put your head down and don't kick the dirt like I do. Have a deep respect for God and lift your head up and proclaim what is within you. The fifth one. God has set boundaries. He set boundaries. The boundaries that He set for them in Exodus was that they weren't supposed to even come close to the mountain. They weren't even to touch, I guess, the hills, the foothills of the mountain. He set a boundary. He had Moses go out and barricade off a section. And He told them not to go. He has set boundaries for us. We have a habit of wanting to look upon the grace of God as going to cover everything we do. But it won't. There is a boundary. God said, if you will not be baptized, there's no wise you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is a boundary. It is a law. It's a boundary. In Galatians, in the 5th chapter, and I read these for one main reason. Because I believe there's a spear point attack upon Christians. That we are being attacked with one word. Intolerance. You're intolerant of my activities. You're intolerant. Well, I'm afraid to say that there is a religion out there that everybody's upholding right now at great standards that is the most intolerant religion that the world has known. Islam. Most intolerant. If you do this, you're dead. Just in the last year and a half within the United States, a family has sent a young woman who fell in love with a man here back to her home country. They executed her as soon as she entered the country because she fell in love with somebody that was not of Islam. Intolerant. But it's not leveled at them. It's leveled at us. At those of us that are trying to maintain a lifestyle that is acceptable for before God, we have become intolerant. It was just leveled at me a short while back, and I always get hit here. It doesn't matter. Because I guess it's either on my face or something that I say when I enter back into the nurse's station, when I'm taking care of the gay community. I will treat them with the utmost respect and due to a human being, but I cannot tolerate their lifestyle. And I have people that are telling me that I'm absolutely wrong. It is intolerant before God. I didn't say that. God said it. He loves them and their soul, but that sin is intolerant. And we're being labeled intolerant if we accept anything here that is said in Galatians. And what worries me, that if we become complacent enough that we can tolerate it, then we become complacent enough that it's acceptable within the body of Christ. And let's read what it says here in Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the thing that ye would do. And if ye would be led by of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adulterers, fornicators, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wraths, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are boundaries. Boundaries. You can read something very similar in Romans in the first chapter. Going back over some of the words. Haters profess violence. Emulations. Jealous rivalries. Being suspicious of others. Wanting to be like them, but being jealous of them. Traditions, conduct or language enticing to rebel against authority. Idolatry, the worship of idols. But this is the one that got me. Blind admiration or devotion for something or someone. Blindly admiration. Some of the people at work hold sports figures up and blindly admire everything that they do. And it doesn't matter that they spit on the fans. It didn't matter that they were caught with drugs. It didn't matter what they were doing. He was still an icon to them, somebody to hold up and to look after. Lasciviousness is characteristic by lusting after, and that's not just of the physical lust. If anything affects you so much that you must have it, that is lasciviousness. You lust after it. Variances is being in a form of conflict, a state of discord, state of quarreling, state of discord, and reveling. To take great pleasure or delight, to rebel, to persuade others in doing wrong. Reveling. These are just some of the things where God has drawn a boundary to that we must be ever watched out for. When we were in Michigan, it became more and more evident to me while I was there to be like a watchman. Somebody standing on the wall warning people, don't step there. Don't go there. Don't do that. Native sounding person in a way. But the watchman also calls out, all is well. Can call out that the sun is coming. And it's not the sun we see every day. It's the Son of God. It's a watchman. I felt more and more like warning people not to go in certain areas. I'd like to close this evening in 2 Peter. First chapter. Starting at the 12th verse. Wherefore I would not be diligent to put you away in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that surely I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I would endeavor that ye might be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. If I stirred you up in any way this evening, I hope that I stirred you up into remembrance that we do serve a living God, and we are His children, and that He loves each and every one of us. But He does want us to be willing to obey. He wants us to be sensitive to listening to His voice and His call. He wants us to be prepared at all times to meet Him. And that even shocked me. Have you thought about Joseph Smith being woke out of a sleep? In his sleep, he had to be prepared to meet God, or a servant of God. Show the deepest respect for our living God. And to know that our Father in heaven has set us boundaries to live by. And if we do them and we keep His commandments, then we are welcome into his home and his rest. I thank you.